John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show with Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black. We're staying on the planet Earth because there's space engineering and arrangements are suddenly revealing that big space is now in some fashion transforming itself into commercial space. Bob, that's the only way I can read this story that you put up. What is ABL?
ABL Space is one of these new small satellite rocket companies building a small rocket for putting up CubeSats, NanoSats, small satellites. And they received a gigantic block buy from Lockheed Martin for as many as 58 launches through 2029. And what's interesting is ABL has yet to launch its rocket. They hope to get their first launch up later this year, and if everything goes well, they'll do three launches this year, but they haven't done it yet. It's interesting that Lockheed Martin should give them such a contract. Well, it appears that this contract reveals a lot about Lockheed Martin. Lockheed Martin in the last 5 years apparently has been reshaping itself to compete in the new commercial market. It hasn't been sitting on its hands complaining about the new companies. It's been trying to reshape this giant all-space company to compete. And so first they opened up a new factory in 17, which was to build satellites for customers with standardized structures so that anyone could shape and pick and choose, like a Chinese menu, the satellite they wanted. They wanted to get business. And then they revealed that they were a key investor in Rocket Lab, the small sat rocket company. And they also were a key investor in the creation, the ongoing creation of the first spaceport in the United Kingdom in southern Scotland. And then they turned around and they decided to become a major investor in ABL itself, the company they gave a contract to. And it's probably because they took advantage of what they learned from Rocket Lab to improve the design. This is a certain corporate privacy here. But the result is that they appear to be copying SpaceX's strategy of vertical integration. If this all goes right, they not only will be building the satellites, but they will have the rocket and they will have their own spaceport to do everything. They won't have complete ownership on the rocket and the spaceport, but they will be major investors in both. And that's what that does is it allows them to get rid of the middleman and to lower the cost to their customers. And so this shows me that Lockheed Martin is very serious about being a player in the upcoming space, commercial space race. And I think that's really good news.
Starship 11, you will recall that Starship 11 flew very nicely. And then on the descent, boom, there is now an explanation for what blew up and why. And we can presume the FAA is satisfied. Bob, what blew up?
Well, I don't know if the FAA is satisfied. I know that SpaceX now understands what's going on. We don't have any long details. Elon Musk tweeted out that essentially there was a leak, a methane leak, probably in the tank or near the engine, that led to a fire in one of the engines that destroyed part of its avionics, which when it fired the engine, the thing blew up. And so now SpaceX knows what happened and is proceeding to fix it. Their next prototype is now being prepped for rollout to the launch pad. They are also preparing their first super heavy booster for testing. And their hope is to be testing next few weeks. Now, whether that'll happen depends a great deal, as you said, on the FAA, which now seems wanting to play a bigger part in this and rubber stamp any research that SpaceX
does. In other words, they're going to treat a Starship crash as an airplane crash or something close to that, and it needs an investigation.
That's the philosophy of, it appears, the Democrats and the Biden administration. But, of course, it's an absurd policy with a prototype like this. We'll have to see how that plays out. I'm not sure that's what they'll do, but there's hints that's where they're going.
All right. This is the really neat SpaceX story of the day on Behind the Black. SpaceX has decided to economize. I thought all that meant was like Scrooge McDuck, you collect all the string. But they've got a better idea. They're going to economize on Starship tanks. What does that mean, Bob?
Well, this is really interesting because you can buy, rocket companies can very easily buy on the open market, off the shelf, big, very big, oxygen and methane and fuel tanks for your rockets to fuel them on the launch pad. These are just the tank farm that would provide the fuel and the oxidizer that goes into the rocket. And so SpaceX could get a block buy and get a lot very cheap price on those. This is a very proven technology, but SpaceX is not doing that now. What instead it's doing is it's building its tank farm at Boca Chica using Starship tanks. Now, what that suggests is that I link to the article who really analyzed this. What that suggests is that they have really organized and created their assembly line for building Starship tanks to such efficiency that they can actually make them as cheap as the off-the-shelf storage tanks available on the commercial market. That really suggests that Starship Super Heavy is going to be as cheap as SpaceX promises, John. This is really a significant piece of news. I mean, if it's true, I mean, I can see a lot of reasons for them doing this. They're trying to streamline the assembly process for these tanks, so why not build more tanks for the tank farm? But it also suggests, they say, they're actually find ways to make these tanks really cheap. It means the rocket's going to be really cheap.
I wonder, Bob, if that, remember you reported the last time that they were going to go from 11 to 15 because they'd made so many changes, 12, 13, and 14 were not useful for the next test. I wonder if that's what the origin of these tanks, they're taking 12, 13, and 14 and turning them into storage tanks.
Oh, that's a good question, John. You could be right. I don't know. If that is the case, that's just them taking advantage of material that was on hand. But it still suggests, because they would have to save, they can't build these tank farm out of improvised tanks that cost them a lot of money. You know, when you can get it off the shelf on the commercial market, you gotta consider right. The cost both ways. So that really still suggests that these tanks are really cheap to build for SpaceX, which means their rocket is going to be really cheap to build and fly. And that's a major game plan changer for the future of space exploration.
UFO report, Northwest America. Suddenly in the sky, I felt frightened. The temperature outside got cold, and then there were shooting stars all across the map. What was that, Bob?
Well, about a week ago, that was in the news. I didn't think it was that important, but a SpaceX upper stage for Falcon 9 rocket was coming down to burn up in the atmosphere, and this was one of the flights that had problems in returning the first stage booster. The second stage didn't have the fuel to control its reentry over the ocean, and so it ended up burning up close to the northwest coast, and there was a spectacular fireworks show when it did this. But it turns out that the interior helium pressure tanks, pressure vessels that are used to use the helium to maintain the pressure in the tanks to push the fuel and oxidizer into the engine. And these interior tanks are very well protected and therefore will not necessarily burn up as they come in through the atmosphere. And one landed on a farm in Washington State. And SpaceX was called, and SpaceX came to recover it. And I've got a picture on behind the block of that tape, of that tank, and it looks in remarkably good condition. And SpaceX is going to take it home, and I'm sure we're going to look at that to see how well it survived the return from space. It looks almost like they could use it again. And that is pretty remarkable, John. It says something about the reliability and the quality of SpaceX's manufacturing. That really is quite amazing.
Russia, Roscosmos, and private enterprise, and Bob, Let's credit the Russians. They learn how to fail. That's part of commercial space. What failed?
Well, I'm not going to give them so much credit, John. This was the first announced private space tourism company in Russia called Cosmokurs. It was founded in 2014, inspired by what Elon Musk was doing, by a man called Pavel Pushkin. And he tried for 6 years to get his rocket and his own private spaceport in operation, and this week he announced he's ceasing operations, shutting it down due to, quote, insurmountable difficulties in coordinating with local authorities on his spaceport, as well as the company's inability to obtain needed regulatory documents from Russia's defense ministry. Roscosmos, government-run, is now very kindly announced it will hire all of Cosmokurs' 50 employees. And what I see here going on is Cosmokurs was going to push into the territory of the Russian space industry run by the government, and they didn't want that. So they put up obstacles, put him out of business, and then they're going to basically steal all his technology and his skills, staff, and maybe they'll do it themselves then. And this is why SpaceX Russia can't compete on the commercial market because they don't understand competition and they won't allow competition within their own company, country. And
Bob, it occurs to me, I'm going to be difficult here. It occurs to me that that isn't all that far from the FAA interfering in Starship. That isn't.
No, it isn't. It's actually very much the same thing. There is one difference, though, which is that Russia as a culture is very top-down, and the government is in control of everything. Roscosmos controls the entire aerospace industry with a very strong lock. Well, in the United States, NASA doesn't have that kind of control, and it's not our tradition. So it's very difficult for the government to do this. They get fought back pretty hard in this country, but we're heading that way, unfortunately, and Russia's an example of how bad things could be if we go in that direction.
All right, the final story is one that we'll point to take in more fully understand in our next conversations. Vesta is still leaking. We've got 30 seconds, Bob. Is it worse?
Yep, it's still leaking. Not only did they have patched three leaks, and in the process they tested the module, did some searches, and found an additional three. And so they're in the process of patching those additional three. That's a lot of stress fractures, we think, right now. And that means this module is aging and is not long to live. That puts some urgency in getting replacement modules up from private companies.
We will address this in detail next time to explain Zvezda and the ISS and its longevity. Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.